love that song. What an anthem. You know, it's like our life story, it's the gospel, it's who we are, all wrapped up into one song. So, yeah, thank you, brother back there. Thanks for the encouragement. So, each week, well, nearly every week, I talk about canoeing in some way or another, and there's only so many times, so many subjects, whatever that you can relate back to paddling. But I got one more for you. One more today. When the water gets hard and the snow gets deep, I'm sure I'll run out of canoeing analogies and illustrations. We'll probably talk about skiing or snowshoeing or something. Then maybe ice fishing, who knows. But with living here, it's amazing. Well, one, it's just amazing. Ely is such a glorious place to live. But it's cool living where other people want to go on vacation, so consequently you get lots of visitors. Lots of folks come and they want to see you while they go to Ely. They're looking for a free place to stay, I think. But you know what? That's awesome. Bring it on. The more the merrier. It's wonderful to get to live here and have so many friends come. Well, what happens then is we like to take them out paddling, out canoeing, and especially to Hagman Lake and see the pictographs. What a great, like, quick little, you know, half day, quarter day trip to take someone on. Well, inevitably, lots of people that come have not really spent much time in a canoe. And so I usually show them a little bit at the bank side, how to hold the paddle, where to sit in the canoe. And then I demonstrate how the canoe has an arched bottom. It's meant to rock a little bit. That's not the greatest initial stability, but great secondary stability. If you're a paddler, you know what I'm talking about. But one of the things that I teach people is keep your nose and your navel in line with the center of the canoe, and you'll stay upright. Most people have had terrible experiences, very old style canoes. My father-in-law didn't know you could go more than a half mile without dumping. He didn't know. He was like shocked when we went all the way out there and back and didn't dump. He's like, I had no idea. I'd like to go on a Boundary Waters trip. That would be really great. Earlier he'd said, I don't want to go, because he just pictured dumping. Keep your nose and your navel in line with the middle of the boat, and you're going to stay upright. Demonstrate that. Lean your head over when you catch a fish, a nice big smallmouth, and you're wanting to land that sucker, and you lean your head over, what happens? Yeah, not that great. When your head gets out of line, the boat starts to tip over. So that's the end of my canoeing analogy. Keep your head above your belly button, and you're going to be in pretty good shape, and let the boat do the rocking for you. Now we're going to get into football. Football analogy. So I played quite a bit of football. I really liked to hit people. And so, consequently, football was like great for me. I played a lot of defense because I really, really like to hit people a lot, real hard, and my coaches love that. They're like, man, put Ebert in there on defense. And so I learned really quickly in football when I would take my head and hit someone else in the head, if I could push their head back, then I could take them wherever I wanted them to go. I could run over. You're going to think, man, my preacher is like really mean. That was the old life. I mean, I did try to hurt people a lot back then, but I don't anymore. Now I pray for people and love them. But honestly, I learned very quickly in football, when you smack somebody in the head, if you can get their head to go back, you can run right over them. You can do whatever you want. And I learned where the head goes, the body then goes also. And that's very true physically. Like in a canoe, where your head goes, your body is soon to follow. If you stay in the middle, you're going to stay upright. If you lean out, you're going to fall over. In football, if your head goes up, your eyes lose sight of the ground, you're going to get run over. You've got to stay connected there. Where the head goes, the body does also. Physically, that's very true. Very true. But it's also true mentally and emotionally. And the Appalachian Trail was a prime example of that. 80% of the folks that attempt to walk from one end to the other are not successful for a variety of reasons, lots and lots of reasons. But one of them is because of the mental game, the mental difficulties in staying out day after day, week after week, month after month, living in the woods in all types of weather. It's tough. our bodies are capable. Most people's bodies can adjust to that daily grind of hiking 10, 15, 20 miles a day, but mentally, it's very, very difficult to stay out there. Where the head goes, the body goes also. Our bodies are capable of so much more than our minds let us. I know when I'm on a good running streak, I can run and run, and after a while, my body gets built up, and I can just keep running, but I get bored. Like, my mind starts to wander, and I think, just give up. Just quit. Stop and take a break. And so my mind forces my body to quit. Where our heads go, our bodies go also. It's amazing what our bodies are capable of if we can keep our heads right. We're kind of in the midst of this sermon series about a key club, and we looked at what it means to have the keys to become a Christian, a Christ follower, a disciple, by being saved by God's grace through our faith. And then we've taken a couple of weeks and we've looked at what's the purpose of this key club, the church, the body of Christ. And we looked at what's the purpose of the church. And last week we looked at our role in the church, at least one week at our role in the church. And we're going to continue on this week and even next week at our role in this key club, in the church. Couple weeks on that. And now here you're going to get to do something that maybe you've wanted to do for a long time. But turn and look at your neighbor and say, you're not right in the head. You are not right in the head. I expected a good response, but not that good of a response. Maybe some of you need to see me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, in the office. I don't know, but isn't it fun to think, you know, yeah, you're not right in the head. I think of the movie Braveheart, and there was a guy from Ireland, and he's like, he's not right in the head, and this guy clearly wasn't right in the head. But the deal is, for believers, we all need to be right in the head. We need to have the right head, the right mindset, the mindset of Christ to be used and effective for the kingdom. We have to be right in the head. Remember, where the head goes, the body goes also. And so today we're going to look at a way for all of us to be right in the head, together in the head, so that we have the same mindset, that of Christ. So we're going to be in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And man, this is one of my favorite passages. This is truly just some of the greatest scripture in all of the Bible. I know that it's all inspired by God. It's all beneficial and useful for teaching, correcting, training, and righteousness, so that we're all equipped for good works. I get that, but there are some that speak to me very clearly and boldly, and this is one of them. Philippians chapter 2 is remarkable. Quickly, to set the stage, Philippi was a Roman outpost. It was a Roman colony in faraway Macedonia, and it was full of like retired Roman soldiers. It was a very Roman patriotic city. It was way, way out there, but boy, it was very closely connected to Rome. And so the Apostle Paul and my dog's namesake, Silas, they went to Philippi, and they spread the gospel, and a woman named Lydia was saved, and she was radically born again and began a new church there. Paul and Silas and Lydia planted a very effective, very loving, very gracious and giving church there in Philippi. Maybe you remember from Acts chapter 16, Paul was very annoyed at a demon-possessed girl. I mean, who wouldn't be annoyed being followed around by a demon-possessed girl? I feel like sometimes my kids are demon-possessed kids, and it can be very bad. So Paul turns around and he casts this demon out of this girl. You'd think that's a good thing, right? Well, the people that owned the girl were very upset that their fortune teller was now no longer effective. And so they beat Paul and Silas severely, threw them into prison. Maybe you remember that. In the depths of the prison at midnight, what are they doing? They're praising and worshiping God, and consequently they're set free, and the jailer and his whole family are saved. What a cool story. Acts chapter 16 is where you can find that. But there's a quick glimpse at Philippi. The Philippian church sent a great gift to Paul while he was in prison through a messenger named Epaphras. And so Paul was writing back to thank them for their generosity, for their grace, and he says some amazing things to the church in Philippi, and to us here today, that we can all benefit from. So if you have a copy of God's Word, turn to Philippians 2. We're going to be 1 through 4. We've got it up on the screen as well. Join me as I read God's Word. The Scripture says that if then there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Father, we come to you this morning. We continue to come into your very presence this morning with joy in our hearts, so glad to be here. And Father, I thank you for your word and how clearly you have shown us who you are and what you've done, and then what it is that we can do for you. And Father, I thank you for this message that you have given to me, and I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will take your word and you will speak it through me this morning, boldly and clearly. And Father, I ask that you open up each of our hearts and our minds, that we may more clearly see you and then obediently love and follow after you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as this key club, the church, as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, all of us have to be right in the head. We need to have the same head, the same mindset together. And so in order for that to happen, let's look at verse 1, the first thing, and see all these things that you and I have in common. And verse 1 says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy. So, one, I began, I think, this morning with my announcements of how much I hear from some of those that are not able to come, how much they miss you, how much they miss being together, part of a community, the Christ community, a Christian community, the church. And as their home, stuck there because of this terrible pandemic, they miss being part of that community. They feel very disconnected. You and I are so blessed to be able to be here, to be together, because we make each other so much stronger. Have you gotten up? Did you get up this morning and just feet hit the floor and realized how blessed we are to have freedom of religion, freedom of worship, freedom of speech? We can come here and bring our Bibles. They're not illegal. And we can praise and worship however we see fit. Well, that connection, that unity, that blessing of being part of something so much bigger goes back 2,000 years, because Christianity is so varied, and in Christ we're brought together in unbelievable unity. Now, Paul, this is classic Pauline writing here. Verse 1, he says, if then there is any. Paul does that all the time. He wrote most of the New Testament. We'll talk more about Paul in a little bit. But he classically says this. What we would better translate that is because. So look at this, and he does this all the time. If then there is any, he's saying because of the encouragement we have in Christ, because of the consolation of love, because of the fellowship together with the Spirit, because of our affection and mercy for each other. The commitment that we make to Christ bonds us together. in ways that the outside world just cannot comprehend. They cannot understand because of the encouragement we have together in Christ. These things we have in common, the comfort that we have in the Spirit, in love, the consolation of love, in the fellowship with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings believers together. We have fellowship with the Spirit of God and together through the Spirit of God, united together, these things in common, and then the compassion that we have, the affection and mercy. For you and I to be right in the head together, part of the body, we have to look at these things that we have in common. We have so much in common. Well, then, what does that do? What does that lead us to as we look at how we're unified together as part of the body? Well, that's spelled out in verse 2. What do we do? Well, Paul says, make my joy complete. Make my joy complete. Thinking the same way, having the same love, united in the Spirit, intent on one purpose. Now, the Apostle Paul was he's alive today in heaven in the presence of the Lord. The Apostle Paul was just an amazing man. So he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was born in a very traditional Jewish family, and he grew up knowing and understanding the Scriptures, the ways of Yahweh, and he became a religious leader, of religious leaders. Very, very energetic, very well-scholared, well-studied. He was a good influencer, and he was very impactful for the Pharisaical leaders of the day. And in fact, he became very zealous at prosecuting this early church, the new believers. And on the road to Emmaus to arrest the church, other believers or believers at that time, he had a radical encounter with Jesus. And Jesus impacted his life and changed him from the inside out and saved Paul. And Paul became a radical influencer for Christianity, the best missionary ever to live. He traveled all over preaching the gospel and planting churches. No one impacted the world like Paul, at least in the human flesh. God used Paul in an amazing way. And then he wrote a large portion of the New Testament, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, literally a walking, talking ambassador for Jesus. And he tells the church, make my joy complete. Speaking for God, speaking for the Lord, make my joy complete. How? By having the same mindset, thinking the same way. Make my joy complete. Now he's speaking for the Lord. We can look at us, you and I, having the same mindset, making Paul joyful and making the Lord joyful. The mind is a battleground. And I'm sure I'm not speaking anything new to most all of you. The mind is such a battleground. And remember, where the mind goes, where the head goes, our body goes also. I've experienced it in my life so many times. I've witnessed it in so many other people's lives when our minds start to go into a dark place, down a slippery slope, when we start to think about things through a negative light. We start to think in a pessimistic way. When our mind starts to go wrong, what a dramatic impact that has in our lives. When our mind starts to go the wrong way, our bodies soon follow, and suddenly we want to shut down. We don't want to do anything. We get depressed, and just it's like a snowball. Negativity and pessimism, it causes divisions in our lives, in our families, in our churches. It causes disruptions and distractions. It's not unifying. It's not edifying, it's not glorifying to the Lord when we are weak and allow our minds to go into those dark recesses. The mind is a battleground, and where our head goes, our bodies are soon to follow. You and I, we can bring joy to the Lord, joy to Jesus, if we have the same mindset. Together, you and I, as one, as the body of Christ, you and I bring joy to the Lord as we think the same way, the same mindset. Look at verse 2 again. He says, make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in the Spirit, intent on one purpose, the same values. As the church, we need to understand what's important. What are those non-negotiables? Who are we and what are we doing? What's the purpose of the church and what's our purpose within the church? United with the same values, the same loves, the same priorities, the same ambitions, with the same direction, the same mind, the same mindset right in the head that the body follows and stays connected with the head. Now, as we are united in this same way of thinking, this same mindset, it does not mean identical personalities. I'll be honest, in my flesh, at some meetings, it would be nice if everybody just simply thought exactly like me. Think of how great this place would be and all that we could get done. I'm kidding. It's not the best for any organization to have the same personalities, not at all. It is glorifying to the Lord for us to have the same mind, the same loves, the same passions, the same objectives, ambitions, the same purpose. So you know that we have so many things in common through Christ, brought together with compassion by our commitment and comfort and love and grace and mercy. We know that as we do that, we can have the same mindset, thinking the same way. Well, then the big question that we have to ask is, how is that possible? How do we go about doing that? Well, good question. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. I say it all the time. It's so important for us to know. Jesus came, I mean, he did come for lots of reasons, but Jesus came for two primary reasons. Jesus came to save sinners from the consequences of that sin, and Jesus also came to be an example for you and I to follow. Two primary reasons that Jesus came. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And then Matthew 20:28 says, for the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to save us and to serve us and to be an example for us, his church, his bride, the body of Christ, on what it is that we're supposed to do after he has gone. Now, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus and you're born again and saved, you're now a disciple. Now your job is to follow Jesus, to look like Jesus, think like Jesus, act like Jesus, to follow him and his example. In the flesh, we fight against humility. We're overwhelmed with pride. We fight against humility. In fact, the world teaches that humility is weakness. It's all about you. Pride. Look at a little kid. As soon as they begin to speak, one of their first words is mine. Mine. I want it my way. I want that toy for me. I'm more important than you. Little kids, they're just born that way. They just naturally do that. And then we spend the rest of our parenting years trying to teach them to look at others as more important than themselves. It's an ongoing struggle. Humility is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a Christ-like attribute. We have to war against it. The world tells us it's weakness. Christianity tells us that humility is essential. The scripture says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Our purpose as the church is to bring joy to the heart of Jesus, to bring joy to him. And one way that we do that is by having the same mindset. you and I being right in the head, together in our way of thinking, unified in the Spirit, loving the Lord, loving each other, and loving others, loving the world, living with humility. Look at the next verse, verse 4. It continues to explain how we can have the same mindset. Verse 4 says, everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That's the opposite of the flesh. It's so different than our human nature. We must be filled with the Spirit in order to do this, to put others' interests ahead of our own. We have to be like Christ, like Jesus. You're sitting here this morning in the building that we call Ledge Rock Community Church. And if you are a born-again believer, you are Ledge Rock Community Church. And imagine Ledge Rock Community Church filled with folks that have the same head, the same mindset. Imagine us, the body of Christ, here together, all unified with love and humility and forgiveness and grace and mercy and patience and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness. Imagine the impact that we would have in our community if we put each other first. I mean, truly, day in, day out, constantly put each other's needs ahead of our own needs. Imagine the impact for the kingdom as we look so different than the world today, so different than our country today. If we look so different, the body is capable of amazing things. The body is capable of way more than we can ever imagine, and our heads are so easily led astray. Where the head goes, the body goes also. How can you and I keep a strong head? How can we remain right in the head with the same mindset, the same way of thinking? Look at the next couple of verses. And maybe just listen as I read this to you. If you have a copy, follow along. We don't have it on the screen, but just listen. This is one of the most amazing passages in all of Scripture, beginning in verse 5. How can we be like Jesus to each other all the time, even when our mind screams no? Look at verse 5. It says, adopt the same mindset as that of Christ Jesus. And then he goes on and explains what that mindset actually is like. Verse 6, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How can you and I keep the same mindset in love and in unity and in humility? We take on the mindset of Jesus, who was God and left the glory of heaven and came to earth to be born in the form of a man. And while yet being fully God, he was also fully man, with all the rights and privileges of being the creator of the universe. And yet he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And because of that, because of his humility, God highly exalted him. And now Jesus is exalted above every other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess one day that Jesus is Lord. You and I are in a war in our minds against the flesh. Our minds scream pride. You deserve it. Jesus says, follow me. Lay down your life. Take up your cross and look like and act and think like me. You and I will bring joy to Jesus as we stay right in the head, thinking the same way, putting others' needs ahead of our own, living like Christ, living for Christ, humble and unified. Jesus is the head of the body. Scripture teaches us in Ephesians, it says that Jesus is the head of the body, and the body is to follow the head. And so men are to lead their families like Christ leads the body. Remember, where the head goes, the body goes also. And if Jesus is the head and we are the body, we're to follow him as the head. It's tough, it's hard, it's an hourly struggle to put each other's needs ahead of our own, to look like Jesus, to have the same mindset. You and I will bring joy to the Lord, joy to each other, if we have the same mindset, if we stay right in the head. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for demonstrating how it is that we can live and bring honor to you. Our role, our purpose in the church is to think the same way, to be unified and have the same mindset. And Lord, I pray for each one of us here today and those listening now and forever in the future that you will work in our lives and help us constantly say no to ourselves, say no to our flesh, and say yes to you in whole new ways that we can bring you such glory and honor. Father, forgive us for our pride. Forgive us for our weakness. And use us anew, afresh, in a great and mighty way to reach and impact Ely and the world for you and for your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.